this time we're at Pumpkin Hill. You ain't ready.
I ain't gonna let it get to me. I'm just gonna creep down in Pumpkin Hill. I got to find my lost piece. I know that it's here. I can sense it in my feet. The Great Emerald's power allows me to feel. I can't see it, but it's around somewhere.
All right. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Geekly Reveal. It's that show that brings you all the geeky news on a somewhat semi-geekly basis. As always. Nope, because not weekly. It's
a semi-weekly basis, at least.
Semi-geekly. Geekly.
Semi-geekly.
Geekdom knows no time. As always, it's your boy, it's your host, Dom, a.k.a. Brother Dom, all over the internet, a.k.a. Commissioner Gordon Ramsay, a.k.a. Tuxedo Flask, a.k.a. Soldier 70 Swish, a.k.a. Gabriel Raised the Roof, a.k.a. Hold on, I got you, fam. Looking like a snack pack, Attack on Titanfall, the House of Usher's Confessions of a Shopaholic, and I am joined once again by the coolest, the leanest, the meanest co-host. Would you like to tell the people who you are?
Hi, all, I'm Stephanie.
No Madam Mimosa today?
I wish I had a mimosa. All we've got is orange juice because my roommate's sick.
I mean, I'm drinking this beer, Master of Pumpkins, by Trogs. It's delicious. It had a cork in it. A cork in a fucking regular bottle of beer.
A cork in a beer. Yeah. That's fancy.
It was so nice. I didn't pull up.
No, yeah, I drank enough alcohol on Friday.
Oh, yes, you did. See, I took one of my AKAs out, Jason Mimosa, because I thought you might be Madam Mimosa, and I wanted to not take away your sparkle or your sizzle, but...
My fizzle?
Your fizzle. Miss Fizzle. That's the alcoholic Miss Frizzle.
I'm gonna make like a document with some AKs in it because I never seem to think of them until like it's too late.
Oh, you gotta put thought into it. I gotta
prep ahead of time.
I've like heard at least 3 podcasts that do AKAs, and like, you know, it's a staple. So
yeah.
So I have a question for you, Steph.
What's your question,
Amy? You're an expert on racial issues that affect people of color, right?
Oh, totally. That's my totally my wheelhouse.
Does
very much my lane.
I always wonder when people are like, we're looking for black podcasts or like podcasts with people of color. I'm like, is this a black podcast? Because I know you're not black. But like, if we starred in a movie and I was the star and you were the co-star, or we were equal billing on the poster, we might be considered like a black movie. So does that count with podcasts too? I'm basically asking, would we be on like UPN on the big block? If you don't get that joke, I'm so sorry.
We're like a mixed race podcast, I guess.
Okay.
I don't know, but like, I feel like we are like, we're coded as black in certain circles.
That's fair.
You know?
Okay. I mean, we're definitely...
To pass one way or the other.
It's definitely a queer podcast. That's firm. We can...
Yeah, we've got that on lock.
Okay. And we are not a podcast with 3 white dudes talking, so like...
So we're better than most podcasts out there.
I think so. I think we've...
I feel like just on that.
Possibly. I just was curious about that. That's something that was just throwing me off every time I see people saying, I want to signal boost some people. And I'm like, I don't want to be a liar. But I need some clicks.
I need the validation.
I need all the validation. How's your weekend? How'd your weekend go for the people listening?
It was pretty decent. I got to go like hang out properly with some friends from work who I hadn't actually got to really hang out with outside of a workspace for the first time, which was pretty fun. We did karaoke until the wee hours of Friday night, and then I came home and collapsed. One of the downsides of going out to party in Manhattan when you live in Brooklyn is that when you're done partying, you have like an hour train ride ahead of you to get yourself back to your apartment.
Yuck.
And at that point, once you've spent like $50 to $80 having the fun that night, your brain says, don't spring for a lift, even when your body is like, Stephanie, just call a lift.
That's, Lyft and Uber are, they get you for some money sometimes. They definitely, always make you say, I should've just got the train, or I got the bus. Okay, well, that sounds like a fun weekend. I also was old and didn't go out, and I slept right through daylight savings. It was amazing. Extra sleep.
Nice.
Is never a bad thing. you want to talk about some nerdy stuff?
Yeah, I think that's why we're here, right?
Maybe? Probably. Probably.
maybe just to talk about, like, our lives and stuff. I feel like we have a core audience who cares.
Yeah, they do care. Let's jump into this first section. Let's just go through this in the order it's here, right? That makes sense?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think so.
Okay,
so... I put it in that order, so I'm leaning towards patting myself on the back.
Okay. Lion King casting for the new one, summer 2019. Looks pretty good.
Yeah, looks pretty nice. I feel like I don't know if I knew before, like, that graphic with all the whole cast was going around on Twitter this weekend that Beyonce was going to be in it. I don't know if that was part of the newness of this or not.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because people were...
Why would I have forgotten that if it was the case?
I think there was also, like, a rumor or, like, a hope. So, like, I think lot of energy was invested in it, like, yo, you should have Beyonce do it. So when we found out, there's probably, like, the little bit of... If you didn't see it retweeted from Disney or quote tweeted, there's no reason this isn't just a Photoshop, because these are just headshots. So, like, this could be fake. It's not, because it's from Disney, but if you didn't know that. Also, this cast is just odd enough that it doesn't make sense that they would be together.
Yeah.
But yeah, Beyonce's going to be Nala. Donald Glover's going to be adult Simba. And yes. Obviously Beyonce is going to be adult Nala. Not the kid versions. Don't sexualize children. Stop doing that to Stranger Things actors. Just throwing that in there.
Please stop.
The funny thing about this Lion King cast, like, there's a couple things that are funny about it to me. First off, seeing James Earl Jones come back as Mufasa is wonderful. John Oliver as Zazu is just funny to me. That's just funny to me. He's the only person who looks uncomfortable in their headshot, which is... a very John Oliver thing to do. And then Seth Rogen and Billy Eichner as Timon and Pumbaa. Pumbaa and Timon, respectively. I mean, that works. I don't know. I would have probably went for, like, a black comedy duo or something. Or some people of color in there. But they work. Seth Jesus Rogen's Samiro. A good Pumbaa. Jesus and Mero, yeah. But, I mean, like, anybody.
Yeah,
like,
anyone.
I mean, they were like, yo, why'd we get the snub? but I'm trying to think. I mean... I don't know. I think Key and Peele could have worked. Although...
Oh, yeah, that would have been good.
Keegan-Michael Key is one of the hyenas.
My roommate was mad that, like, Whoopi Goldberg is still a living person who acts in things, and she was not returning as Shenzi.
Yeah, that's odd. That maybe she didn't want to. Maybe they didn't want to work with her. I don't know what Whoopi's like in person. Maybe it's, like, some kind of garbage blackballing. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, she's apparently relatively delightful to work with in person, because I read a very long piece about the making of the Brandy Cinderella movie that was going around on Twitter the other day.
That's
and
a
apparently
hell of a
that was just a fucking, like, fever dream of a delightful, like, movie making experience.
I believe
between
that.
Whitney Houston and Whoopi Goldberg and Brandy and, like, everyone else who was in that fucking cast, like,
that's definitely a thing that happened.
Like, apparently Whoopi was like, no, I'm not wearing that fake jewelry. Like, go to my jeweler. He'll give you the, like, here's the name of my person there. They'll hook you up. And so, like, literally she was wearing, like, $5 million worth of diamonds, like, in any given scene. And as soon as they finished filming, like, security guards would, like, descend on her and remove them.
That's ridiculous and awesome. That's the kind of extra I strive to be.
It was wonderful.
And Florence Kasumba will be Shenzi. I don't know her off the top of my head.
She plays the Dora Milaje in,
you know what,
in Civil War.
Okay, I see that. And then Eric Andre as Azizi. Eric Andre is a fever dream of a person. if you don't know anything about the guy, I would just go, like, look at some of his work or, like, the Eric Andre show. He's a weird guy. Seems like a solid guy, but a weird guy. There's nobody else on here that I really know specifically that I want to, like, cheer about. But, you know.
I'm down with it. I'm ready.
Nice cast. Is there anybody else left to cast?
I don't think so. Like,
That's everybody, I think.
That's pretty much everyone, yeah.
Okay.
Unless they decide to add new folk, but I can't imagine they would.
Who knows? Who knows what'll happen?
Yeah. Disney always be surprising us.
I don't think I'm gonna be able to enjoy this movie when I watch it. Cause, like, not quality-wise, but, like, it's just gonna, I'm like, that's just these people.
Yeah, like, that, like, the thing's been going around Twitter that's, like, Nala? Or, like, Simba? Beyonce? Like.
And, like, it's gonna be, like, Donald Glover. Like, that's the thing. I'm sure, I know half of these people can act. I don't know about the other half. But, like, you don't get, for instance, well, I mean, James Earl Jones just got to do the voice he did before. That's no problem. But, like, I feel like you don't get John Oliver or Seth Rogen for them to put on a voice. Like,
yeah.
But, you know, it's going to be funny seeing Florence be funny as Shenzi.
Yeah, because she, like, has made kind of a space for herself as, like, a very serious, like, action lady.
Yeah, which is cool, but, like, that's not what the hyenas were.
Yeah, that's the exact opposite. Yeah,
they were just comedic Nazis. Really. Look, that imagery was not subtle. I'm not saying...
No, it was not.
I'm not agreeing with it. I'm just saying that's what happened.
I'm not wrong.
But anyway, so let's keep on the Disney train, actually.
Arguably all of our movie news is Disney related.
Yeah, that's the way the world goes. You saw Thor Ragnarok.
I sure saw Thor Ragnarok. So, I love the Thor movies a lot. I know that you've never seen them, and I respect that because they're very, like, high fantasy, and that's not your thing.
They don't start high fantasy enough for me. I would prefer that.
But I quite like them, and I have been very invested in Loki's character arc from the beginning. And I was not sure how I would feel about the much more, like, in-your-face comedy of this one as compared to, like, the more kind of, like, subtle humor of the other movies. But it was very hilarious, and I think there were only one or two beats that were, like, did you really have to go for the joke there? Like, at this point we could have, like, jumped into the serious action part, like, without going for, like, the beat of, like... Like, that visual pun or whatever.
Yeah, that is the Marvel curse, to a degree.
To do something very well, but too much.
You always have to take the wind out of every moment with a joke.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I love the fun and the humor. And I never really... It very rarely catches me, like... Oh, you didn't really have to. Like, you could have just kept that
part. You could have just let it stand, yeah.
Yeah. But it never ruins, like, the movies for me.
Yeah. But, like, my overall issue with this movie was that, like, I am still 4 days after having seen this movie, overwhelmed by how attractive every single character in this movie was in a different and unique way. I feel very personally attacked and victimized by this. Yeah. Like, there's a scene where Loki is in, like a black suit with a black shirt and a black tie. He looks fantastic. In the same scene, Chris Hemsworth is dressed like he's going to the farmer's market in, like, jeans and, like, a flannel and a casual jacket. Also looks fantastic.
Is that what Hela. Is his Asgardian gear, like, the farmer's market version of, like, an Asgard guy? Like, is he just a space hillbilly and we don't realize that?
I hope so.
I'm just curious.
Like, Hela, like, she has the big, like, deer horn helmet that she, like, fights in, but the way that she, like, puts it on is she has her hair hanging down and she, like, runs her fingers back to her hair like she is in Herbal Essences ad. And when she puts her head back up, it's the horns.
Oh,
like, and it's, like Bayonetta. A really cool, like, visual thing. That was also attractive. Tessa Thompson's character, Valkyrie, is, like, as we discussed in the previous episode, canonically bisexual.
Oh, yes, that's true.
Sadly, do not see this. And she plays this just ridiculous, like, brawling, drunk kind of fighter, who, like, is not the kind of female fighter we've seen in the MCU thus far. Which is pretty cool. And interestingly enough, there's actually no romance in the whole movie. Her and Thor have, like, a little bit, like, a sizzle of tension, perhaps, one might say, but Hela is Thor and Loki's sister, so there's no tension there.
I mean, but there's a tension between Loki and Thor, though.
Well, yeah. I was going to say, like, I said that, and then I was like, wait, but, nope. That's the incest angle is not the defense stance that I want to take from a Thor movie. But yeah, it was just, and Jeff Goldblum, playing Jeff Goldblum, if we're being really honest.
Sure. You don't get Jeff Goldblum in a movie to not play himself.
Fantastic. The Hulk slash Bruce Banner, excellent. They kind of made fun of the thing from Age of Ultron, where the weird like talking down the Hulk thing that Black Widow did.
Yeah, that was weird.
Like, with like every character trying to do it to get the Hulk to calm down.
I mean, you know, that only worked because of like Joss Whedon's weird ass romance plot, which was dumb, but like.
Like,
not when Thor and the Hulk are fighting.
Yeah, well, when Thor and the Hulk are fighting, like, Thor's like, hey there, big guy. Sun's going down. Like, whatever the line is. And it's like.
I'm sure it didn't work.
it does not work. But it's so funny. Like, every time, like, Thor's trying to get him to calm down, he starts there, like, he starts back with that, like, that same thing. Bruce is finally like, stop it!
Hulk hate bullcrap.
But yeah, it had a very satisfying. I'm interested to hear what our friend and former podcast guest Izzy thinks, because he messaged me on Saturday after he had seen it, being like, I have so much beef with this movie. Like, let me. So much beef that I cannot tell you in text how much beef I have. Can we talk later this week on the phone?
Was he talking about the colonialism stuff?
In Thor?
Yeah, because I heard...
like, in the Thor 3?
I heard there was, like, an angle of that you could...
Yeah, I mean, like, the part of the reason, like, Hela is their sister who was imprisoned because she was too destructive and violent, and Odin was fine using her when he wanted to colonize the other realms.
Oh, I gotcha.
But once his reign was, like, secure, he was like, okay, well, you can fuck right off now. Like, I don't need you to keep killing people all the time.
Oh, sounds particularly Odin-esque.
Yeah, so I don't know if that was the aspect of it. Like, her whole thing is, like, I want to, like, I'm not satisfied just recolonizing the other nine realms. Like, I want everything is her stance. Her
right.
Motivating. So, like... Maybe that, but yeah, I don't know. I have not thought too critically about this movie because, as you might have heard, I am just very entranced with the visuals of the characters.
Well,
I'm still working past that.
I think
that's.
And also,
it gave Loki the storyline that I wanted him to have. So.
See, yeah, that's the part I want to see is Loki's storyline. I just don't care about all the other stuff. I don't care about the setup. I guess you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. The first 10 minutes of most movies are the part that I'm like, this doesn't matter. You know what movies did the first 10 minutes right? The Saw movies. So we started with one of the traps that was some nonsense that was usually not even that related to the plot, and it was gory, and I don't like gore, but they're like, we're gonna start on our one trick, and then we're gonna go from there and tell the story. And it's like, this is egregious, but it's, you know what other movie did that? Age of Ultron started with a fight scene. Like, you know what, that's gonna be our climax, but that's not gonna be, you know, the whole point of this movie. We're gonna tell a story here. But Thor's like, oh, hey, watch some people walk around the desert for a little bit, like a little prairie. And you're like, oh, this sucks. You know,
so you think.
See, now you know how I feel with Ultron, because that movie, if you think critically about it, not that great. But if you just watch it for, like, the shiny stuff and, like, the attractiveness of Scarlett Johansson and Chris Evans, you don't really see how bad the movie is. How about that, huh? There you go.
There's Bam. That. That's Mind all blown. I do.
Just look. There's a reason they both wear leather pants. That's all I'm saying.
That's not false.
You know, we laugh and joke about it because we're like, Chris Hemsworth has like the mandatory shirtless scene.
He had it in this movie too.
No one ever looks to see
if there's like... There was like a 30 seconds...
Good. Dead. I was going to say, no one ever looks to see if Scarlett Johansson has a butt clause. Like, maybe someone called her a flat butt Becky one day and she's like, I'll show these motherfuckers.
But like, if we're being 100% honest, there was, again, in this Thor movie, a scene in which Thor is inexplicably but wonderfully shirtless and damp.
Is that just the...
For, like, a solid, like, 30 seconds. Like, certain, like, cut... Like, certain camera... And, like, the camera was, like, hitting him in such a way that, like... You could imagine that there were no pants either. Like...
Wait, hold on.
Like, his pants were low-slung enough that, like... It was hit... Like, the shot was hitting him, like, at his pelvis. Like...
There was the V. Like, we saw the V.
You saw the V, yeah.
See, there it is. That's so it's like, fan service.
Yeah, I was like, this is just, I'm totally fine with the scene, but I'm so amused to see the proof of the Chris Hemsworth shirtlessness clause.
Look, you can do something that's both great for people who find men attractive and fits the male gaze. Like, you can do a power fantasy and a sex fantasy at the same time. It can be done. So two questions from that.
Oh, wait, also, forgettably, Doctor Strange was in the movie, but forgettably enough that I didn't care about him.
Yeah, I feel like if it wouldn't have been Benedict Cumberbatch, people would have cared a little bit more about Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
But also, like, I don't know, like, I don't have enough of a backstory with Benedict Cumberbatch to be pissed off enough at him to not go see that movie. I'm just like, I played Marvel vs. Capcom 3 and Doctor Strange didn't set my heart aflame, so I didn't give a shit. Like, I really didn't. I'm like, I'll figure it out when I see him. So two questions. Question number one. What was the shirtless scene in Avengers? Did you do one, or was that just not yet, do you think?
God, I've seen that movie so many times.
I don't think he was shirtless in that movie.
Like, no, I don't think he was, but there was, like, there was the gratuitous, like, Thor and Loki angsting at each other on a mountain scene.
Yeah, that was cool. Okay. And thing number two, you mentioned Thor being damp with his shirt off. Question number two, are you more comfortable with the word damp than moist?
Yes.
Because damp solidly makes me more, think of...
He wasn't like...
I'm just saying.
It wasn't like he was wet.
Well, because so, damp... Damp makes me think of like mulchy, like mushrooms basement. And like moss and shit. People are like, moist sounds gross. I'm like, moist makes me think of cake or like dew on grass. Damp makes me think of like, mold's coming. Just me.
Like, he wasn't as like slathered in water as he was in Age of Ultron.
Well, he was literally in water at that point.
When he was literally in water and dripping, like
still pointless. Oh, I mean, I'm sure it gets explained, but like,
no, it doesn't. That's what's the best part of it.
Oh my god, what's his last news item from Disney?
Oh yeah, so given all of these other things from the Marvel movies, we may be seeing even more characters, shirtless or otherwise, coming up, because it broke today that apparently Disney is in talks to buy 21st Century Fox, which, aside from giving them a weird monopoly on all of pop culture, would include in that the rights to the X-Men and Fantastic Four franchises, which would then give them the rights to include those characters in the MCU, and they would just have to, you know, like, go perform some sort of satanic ritual to claim Spider-Man wholly back from Sony and have the entire Marvel umbrella back under their wings. But like,
that's not good for like capitalism.
Yeah, I don't know, I'm like, I'm of several minds about it, because like, obviously, like, my first knee-jerk reaction was like, oh, thank god the X-Men and the Fantastic Four are back with the MCU, we can stop fucking around and pretending that like, and making movies about the Inhumans when we want to actually make movies about mutants, or like making characters who have significant crossover to the Avengers not be allowed to say things like mutant or shit like that. Like, we have Doctor Doom. We could have Storm, like, being played by an actual dark-skinned woman. Like,
and that puts that puts Scarlet Witch in a weird position.
Yeah, like, we could have, like, we could somehow retcon and fix Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver into actually Magneto's children. Like,
also, he's definitely coming back for Infinity War, right?
I'd be surprised if he didn't.
Because they made such a big deal about, like, I'm sorry, he ain't dead. Like, he's super, I refuse to believe that dude is dead.
Yeah. But, yeah, like, so, like, there's that, and then it's like, oh, but then, you know, like, does Disney need to own every single, because, like, if they do buy this, it's not that they're not just buying, like, the rights to these characters back from Fox. They're buying all of 21st Century Fox, so, like, FX, like, the American Horror Story, like, world, like, all of the X-Men shows that are on FX, like, all of the other, like, whatchamacall, like, independent programming that is on these channels, yeah, and is all gonna be Disney's, too, so it's like, ought one mouse have all that power?
No. But at the same time, do they not already, like, in some weird way that we don't know?
Fair.
The one thing that people are worried about is Deadpool gonna still be allowed to cuss? Ryan Reynolds was like, I wonder what the fudge will happen to Deadpool if this goes through. And I'm like, well, Disney likes money, so...
Will they... One of the things I saw was, like, will they negotiate for Spider-Man to show up in a Deadpool movie? Not, like, in, like, a... like a pervy Spidey pool way, but like in a just that interaction is fun way. Like,
I don't know. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, that'd be good. You know, it'd be funny if if Deadpool has, if he shows up in other people's movies and tries to cuss and it gets bleeped out, but like, mm-hmm, that everyone, that he can, like, he's aware of it. That'd be like the happy compromise, because there's so much more to Deadpool than just cussing and the lewdness, I guess. But that, yeah, stuff is fun though.
Yeah. So yeah, and maybe we can like the other thing that concerns me about this is, will then the stories of marginalized characters from that have already been set up in the MCU be pushed further back for more white guy origin stories? Like, are we gonna have to have if this does go through, are we going to do a Fantastic Four movie again, and then like another Wolverine movie?
Well, Fantastic Four, I think you can still do, because you can still canonize like mixed race Storm family,
yeah,
and like so there's, I mean, you could also two for it and just make Sue Storm the black one, which is kind of problematic, so maybe not. Because you don't want one of your few women of color to be invisible half the time.
Yeah.
Then again, the Fantastic Four don't use their powers half the time in the movie, so, like, maybe it's fine.
Also, that would be
angrily.
Like, a woman of color being a main character and a love interest in the movie half the time would be
still more than we have
still an improvement, except for Thor Ragnarok. Like,
hey, look, we're speeding towards Black Panther, so like, things are probably,
oh my god,
things are gonna get
the
better.
Trailer was so good on the big screen.
Oh, they showed it again.
Yeah, like, because it was the trailer for that and Justice League and a couple of the Star Wars trailer.
That's petty to put Justice League in there.
There were the trailers were pretty confused for this movie, like, because you know how usually they try to show stuff that's all, like, similar? And, like, you'd think that this is a Disney, like, it's a Marvel movie, but it's ultimately a Disney movie, so you'd think that, like, the trailers that are not for also superhero or genre movies would skew, like, kid-aged. But instead, there were, like, all these trailers for, like, serious adult shit. And I was like, what kind of people do you think are we? Like,
what day did you see it on?
The day it came out, the first showing.
Like, Thursday?
Thursday at 7, yeah.
No, so I wonder if they, like, age it. But they know, like, oh, hey, they're here on Thursday. These aren't kids, necessarily. These are at least partly adults. So that's cool. That's cool. Very cool. Very cool.
You whooped her talking about that.
you want to take a break and move on to the last section?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, we'll be back in a few seconds. In a minute's time. Peace. Back. Hope you enjoyed that music. As always, it'll be in the show notes. Go support these artists. They worked hard. And yeah, we got more news. So I just see the word Steven Universe, and I don't remember what the news story was. Just it's like
the story is that the next couple episodes are going to be released through the app.
Well, I guess they don't have time on the schedule with all the Teen Titans Go.
I was gonna say, remember, you're the one who told me this story.
I was just making sure it was not something different. I, like, vaguely forgot for a little bit, but yeah, it's kind of an odd story, right? Like, it's gonna just be on their app, which is free? Like, do you need a login?
So, I don't know if you'll need a login for the for the Steven Universe episodes specifically. I know that certain parts of the app you need to log in with your cable provider or like through your cable provider to watch full episodes. So I'm not sure if that will be the truth for this since it's not airing anywhere else.
Gotcha.
I don't know if they'll hold it to that same standard. Because I know like when Legend of Korra went online only, it was just stream the whole episode for free. Don't sign in. We know you want to watch this, even though we don't want to put it on TV anymore.
So it says they will air on Cartoon Network in December.
Will maybe eventually be on the TV, just like this is just first format kind of thing.
Yeah, I think they're probably trying to see how it'll play out and what their what their response is. So if they have a good response, they might keep doing it on app. And honestly, that might be a preferable way to watch it. I don't know, like. Oh, they've done this before.
Really? I guess I'm just...
By accident, though. One time we went on the app real quick and it came off. People think it was a leak.
Okay.
But they've had the capability. So I don't know. But yeah, Polygon says they'll just be on the app first and then they'll come to TV. But the ramifications of that are kind of interesting. They're probably like... You're saying just trying to test out the app to see if it's if they can get away pulling a Star Trek?
Yeah. At least it won't be making us pay for a separate service just to watch the show. Like,
there's that.
Presumably, if one has cable, one can watch this as opposed to paying extra for a channel that already airs on cable.
Yeah, that'd be a pain in the ass. So, let's see what they do. I'm curious, just in general.
Yeah, we'll see.
Okay, so I know nothing about these next two stories other than just the rumblings I've heard. So Jordan Peele going to be doing a Twilight Zone series.
Yeah, so apparently people just want Jordan Peele to make more horror shit because he's good at that, I guess.
He did do it once.
He did it once and was good at it, so I guess we're just going to keep pigeonholing him to do that forever. But I mean, that could be pretty cool. Like, Twilight Zone's got like a big, like... Like, adapting something like Lovecraft Country, which is it doesn't have, like, a space in the cultural consciousness the way Twilight Zone does, so, like, that's pretty cool. But my only real familiarity with the Twilight Zone is, like, episodes on reruns when I was at my grandparents' house when I was a kid, and whatever lore one gets from the Hollywood Tower Hotel ride at Disney. This could be pretty cool. It's, like, my brand of horror is, like, the stuff that creeps you out in an existential way as opposed to like jump scares or gore, so
that's fair.
I'm down.
I saw an episode, I think it may have been The Outer Limits.
Oh yeah, that was also a weird show that I sometimes came on when I was at my grandparents' house that freaked me out.
But wait, no, the episode I'm thinking of though, okay, it was a Twilight Zone episode. Yep, okay, but it was like from the new ones, I think. It was a sacrifice one. It's called Sunrise. That episode fucked me up. Did you ever see that one?
I don't think so.
So the premise was basically these kids are camping like on Aztec site or something,
mm-hmm.
and they knock over a jug and like filled with blood and like, oh crap, and then the sun like goes out and they like read their like phones are dying out and their people are like, yo, we only got like whatever amount of time you have until the sun stops hitting the earth, which is maybe like 8 hours or something. I can't remember. I think eight minutes for the light to stop hitting you, but then like there's a period of time that the earth will just have some heat from like our atmosphere.
Yeah. Residual heat.
Yeah. But then that there's a point where like I think 8 hours later or like 10 hours later, people will just start dying. So it's like, guys, we gotta fill this thing back up with blood, or else it's not gonna like or else we're all gonna die. And they kill the one guy with the sacrifice and the sun comes back up and the radios come back and like, hey, yeah, so this is like apparently there's this natural phenomenon that's able to happen every like couple thousand years that'll like the sun just does kind of disappear a little bit. It's like a spot or something. And the kid's like, oh shit, we killed our friend for no reason, or did we?
The like, or did we is like that's the Twilight Zone, like,
yeah, that's it.
That's what gets you.
And Jordan Peele will be able to do some good ones, I'm sure.
Yeah.
That's cool. I'll probably watch an episode or two just knowing his name's on it. Is that coming to Netflix or something, sure, or Hulu, or
did they say? I'm not sure. They might have said, but I don't remember what I read.
Okay. Keep our eyes peeled.
Here's the shitty thing, is I'm pretty sure The Twilight Zone is owned by CBS, so they might try to put it on CBS All Access. On the flip side, give us two reasons to have a CBS All Access subscription instead of just Star Trek one, but...
You know what the messed up part about all this is, though? Like, I feel like the future is, like, on devices, and that's a preferable way for them to be, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like... And I don't want to pay for an extra thing, but, like, I'd rather just, like, pay whatever I'm paying and then get, like, a Netflix who, like, basically, like, a non-shitty version of what net neutrality is stopping from happening, you know? Like, how they're trying, yeah. Like, it's like, oh, well, all these things that I have to pay for anyways, there's some package I can put them in to, like, save some money.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, like, I have YouTube Red, and there's a few things I want to watch on it, but I wasn't going to fucking buy YouTube Red, like, but it is nice, because, like, the people, like, apparently, if you have a YouTube Red account, since you don't see ads, you just, like, your money goes into it, so all the people with, like, demonetized videos from, like, it either being unfairly flagged for being queer content, or, like, for no reason at all, like, not even a bullshit reason, they're just like, oh, they just caught it, it's not because you're blackballed, the robots messed up. While those are demonetized, apparently YouTube Red money still goes to those people.
Okay.
It's just obviously a lot less because the amount you contribute over everything that you could possibly watch isn't the same as an ad. But apparently that does help them in some way, so that's good to know that I can still help creators. So, indirectly, I just wanted to get music. But I'd like to have the access to YouTube Red as well as Hulu for a few things. Haven't watched an Amazon show yet, despite having Amazon Prime.
I've had Amazon Prime for like 5 years, and every once in a while they send me an email that's like, by the way, you know, you already own this, like, you're paying for this, like, you could use this anytime.
Hey,
like,
thanks. Oh, cool.
I know, I'm good. Thanks, so.
I haven't canceled it yet, I'm very aware.
Like, I'm just here for the 2-day shipping, homie.
And, like, we also get music and stuff, too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't used that either.
I mean, I bought some music on Amazon. I want to say twice. I mean, I got the Hamilton mixtape on Amazon.
But that's not that. Yeah, but I bought a CD. Like, I bought a CD. I didn't buy, like, a download, so.
Well, I didn't know I could pre-order on Google Play to get the tracks earlier. I would have did it on there. Amazon just got to me first, which, you know, they do show you the lyrics and stuff, so it's a good app. I just don't care. And they're trying to get our money again, because apparently they're having a Lord of the Rings TV series.
Yeah, so I guess, maybe if they do this, I will use my Prime Video service finally. On the flip side of this, like, the good point that I saw being made in rebuttal to this, like, is, like, yes, like, people love Lord of the Rings, but, like, two points to this. One, the Lord of the Rings movies are far and away the best adaptation of a fantasy anything into a visual anything, like, period. This isn't like something like the like City of Bones / Shadowhunters, where like the movie tanked and it worked that they rebooted it as a show because the movie was so forgettable or something like that. Like,
yeah, Lord of the Rings did fine and then even did all right as The Hobbit when they did more.
Lord of the Rings won like a record-breaking number of Oscars. Like, it's not like a movie trilogy that needed to be reworked. And again, like, The Hobbit was not as good, but it still wasn't nightmarishly bad.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, okay.
Which is like, oh, this didn't give me the same feelings that the other ones did, but I'll put it on if it's what's on. Like, that kind of thing. But, the flip side of this is like, do we need to keep remaking or adapting stories by dead white guys?
Like, I saw that, and my first reaction was like, there's so many other dead white guys. If you don't want to, like, give a woman and or person, like, of color a chance, like,
and like,
other white dudes wrote stuff. Like, Jordan Peele's doing stuff from fucking Lovecraft Country. Like, there's other old white dudes, like, to mine for content.
Yeah, like, there's either...
And that's, like, before even, we even get progressive, is what I mean.
Yeah, like, even within the Lord of the Rings universe, like, there are other stories that you could tell besides the Lord of the Rings story or the Hobbit story. Like, so, like, even if you did want to stick with Tolkien, there are other stories you could make your TV show about.
Exactly.
But if you don't want to stick with Tolkien, there's fucking Terry Pratchett and, like, Goodkind and Brandon Sanderson and Robert Jordan. There are a lot of dead white, alive and dead white guys writing fantasy.
And that's before we even get to, like, you know, marginalized, like, people.
Yeah, and, like, we've already got our, what's it called? Patrick Rothfuss story, adaptation coming with Lynn involved, which I'm actually very excited about because those books are very good. But, like,
if we're keeping it real, they just want some of that Lord of the Rings, or the Game of Thrones money.
Yeah, that's all it like, is. But, like, if you want that, like, adapt, like, what's it called? We talked about, like, several episodes ago, N.K. Jemisin's fifth season is coming to TV, or, like, TNT or something? She got a deal with TNT for a TV show? Which is so bizarre to me, because the series, like, at the time, it'd been a while since I'd only read the first book, and it had been a while since I'd read it, but I reread them on vacation. And, like, the first book deals with, like, all kinds of very complicated, like, race issues and, like, the kind, like, the X-Men mutant thing, but in, like, a more nuanced way. Like, the, like, we oppress people who have the power to hurt us kind of thing. And it's a analog for real world oppression, but, like, done better. And, like, the main character ends up in a polyamorous relationship with her gay mentor and a beautiful bisexual man.
Fancy.
Like, so, like, that show's coming to TNT, but Amazon is adapting Lord of the Rings again?
You know, I mean, like, you know.
It's, like,
The well's not dry, I guess? It's dry.
Like, there are so many stories. Again, like I said, like, by, like, Nnedi Okorafor and N.K. Jemisin and all these other people who are writing fantastic speculative fiction and are not alive or dead straight white dudes. Like,
I think it's probably, I don't know. I don't know why they would.
Like, Octavia Butler.
I mean, does she have a show on Amazon already that we don't know about?
I mean, I don't watch anything on Amazon Prime TV, so it's possible, but I feel like I would have heard about it.
No, she has books.
But yeah, so, like, I love Lord of the Rings. Like, I seriously have considered and reconsider constantly, once I've gotten all of the other tattoos that I want, a Lord of the Rings tattoo. Like, I fucking love Lord of the Rings. We don't really need a Lord of the Rings TV show.
We really don't. We have enough. Like, give us some room.
We're set.
Like, you know who did that right? The Saw movies. Like, 7 years between Saw 7 and 8. No, but for real, though, like, I was just kind of trying to be funny, but that's, yeah, like, I don't think anyone's, like, clamoring for more Lord of the Rings content just yet.
Yeah,
I think that's something that helped, like, Lin-Manuel Miranda, too. Like, we all kind of want
more stuff from,
like, we want
that
more
his
from
fingerprints
him.
Are on.
And, like, I could even, like, I want the Hamilton mixtape volume 2, but I don't need it right now. Like, and it's still, it's still making, still doing stuff. But, like, we don't need everything right now. So.
Yeah. But, you know what? What content people are craving more of constantly?
Are you segueing to our next story or something else?
I am segueing to our next story.
Fam, I wish I could do that little hand-stretched-out cracking thing. Because, oof. Well,
I did it, but my hands didn't crack.
You've entered my wheelhouse. welcome to Overwatch Land, folks. BlizzCon was this past weekend, and it was great stuff.
You thought you were going to get through an episode of our show without talking about Overwatch, but you were wrong.
That was foolish of you if you thought that, especially if you read the show notes, but if you didn't, it was foolish of you to think so. A lot of stuff this weekend, actually. Since I want to just prevent myself from droning on and on and on, I know you saw some of this stuff. Do you want to talk about any of it?
Sure. Actually, I feel like I've been talking for a long time, but
okay.
I'll keep talking.
I'll kick it off. I'll kick it off with some of the other stuff. I mean, obviously, the big news.
So you want to cover the video game part of it, and I'll cover the story part of it?
Yeah.
The things we care about?
So big news was the new character, Moira, which we'll get into once I've monologued a little bit, because there's some good lore and gameplay stuff there.
Yes.
But besides that... Apparently, just to not just talk about Overwatch, they are making StarCraft 2 free to play to get more people involved. They are making Hearthstone. They released, I guess, purely single player mode. Heroes of the Storm, now as Hanzo and a dragon woman, and I forget her name because I only know Overwatch properties. it's not sexism. It's just some lack of knowledge in general. Warcraft Classic is coming out, which people refer to as World of Warcraft Vanilla. So they're kind of going back to some of the old stuff with that. But as far as Overwatch, we are getting some new skins for characters. We're getting the skin for Mei from that short that she was in, the kind of improvised stuff. And then some of the other characters are getting skins from other Blizzard properties. So like Widowmaker is getting a skin from like StarCraft. Doomfist is getting Blackhand, which is kind of funny that...
I was gonna say,
But, like, he's the only character who has, like, a fist as a weapon, really.
Yeah.
So, like, fine. Ironically...
Is it, like, very, like, they're like, what should we give the...
the guy.
Which thing should we give the black guy who fights with a big hand?
To be fair, I think Black Hand corresponds to Doomfist's robotic hand. Not the one that he actually is, just his regular hand, so...
It's just his regular hand.
I don't know. It's one of those things where, like, I could see how this could be sketchy, but it also makes a lot of sense. Roadhog gets, like, some butcher. Other characters get different stuff, so there's a lot of cool things in there. Torbjorn gets a skin from Warcraft that he already looked exactly like, because he just looks like one of the, like, dwarf characters, which is cool. And then, they released a new map called Blizzard World, which is a theme park based on all the Blizzard properties except for Overwatch, because Blizzard is a real company within the Overwatch universe due to the fact that D.Va is a StarCraft 2 player.
StarCraft.
Many guards can be seen playing Hearthstone. Which is, you know, doesn't really break the meta until you see that within Blizzard World there's a Heroes of the Storm themed place. And the characters of Overwatch exist within Heroes of the Storm.
Heroes of the Storm, yeah.
Obviously, this seems like a not canon kind of map. It's just there, but I haven't seen much of it because it's hard to test those things at the event because everyone just wants to either play the new hero or just not work as a team in general because they're dicking around. So I haven't seen any of the tours of it because I'm just going to wait till it hits the public test space. But the big news that got everybody all hot and bothered was the new character, Moira.
Yeah.
Which was good, because we super, super, super needed another character that can heal other people as their primary function. So, she has some cool stuff going on with that, but I'm going to pass it over to Steph to talk a little bit about what, like, story and impact and...
Yeah, and purple. So Moira is like an Irish scientist according to her background. She used to be Blackwatch, and now she's Talon.
Good old Talon. And
good old Talon.
I was like, wait, she used to be black? Like, I was like, what?
She used to be black, and now she's with Talon.
Kind of like
with all the other brown people.
And Widowmaker. Yeah.
And Widowmaker, who is probably been argued as a person of color by some neckbeard on the internet because she's purple.
Which, that's not the color your skin turns when you lose all of your blood.
But yeah, so Moira, she is...
Or turn cold, I'm sorry, before I get corrected.
Yeah, like, I was gonna say, it's like the opposite of the color you turn when you lose all your blood, because your blood's the part that makes you purple.
Whoops. Yeah, she turns cold, not bloodless. My fault.
It's all good. Some other neckbeard on the internet was gonna come for you.
Fake geek boy, that's me. It's my new AKA.
So, she, I guess... We haven't got, like, a short or anything with her backstory in it, but we got, like, a little bit of just, like a 90-second, not, like, an animatic kind of thing, not, like, a cinematic thing that was, kind of just talking about, like, her motivations and her, like, giving a little bit of, like, tinges of her backstory. And so, like, her motivation is kind of along the lines of, like, science is, like, the most important thing, and, like, she's, like, the opposite of the Jeff Goldblum line, like, you were so busy thinking about whether or not you could that you never stopped to wonder whether you should.
She's like, we definitely should because we can, to see what we can do.
And one of the things that I thought was a little weird about this particular short was that it was not outright stated, but very powerfully implied that she was the one who did the...
Whatever it was that made
Gabriel into Reaper, which is especially weird because, like, so far in terms of lore, like, and, like, whatever was accepted canon within, like, at least the fanfiction writing community, the sense was whatever happened to make people think that Jack and Gabriel were dead, like, whatever explosion happened at headquarters or whatever, was what hurt him enough that he had to be... poorly resurrected into Reaper, whereas the sense that I got from this was more that he was already working on turning into Reaper while he was still with Blackwatch.
Yeah, I'm wondering what happened with that, because especially if we go by powers, which I think this is a decent way to segue into the powers, because yeah, Moira was with Overwatch, but they were like, calm down, homie, stop testing on animals. And then McCree, Genji, and Reaper were like, yo, but what about Blackwatch, though? And now, then she went to...
we're Overwatch, but without morals.
But, so her powers, she can sap energy from people, which is her main way of attack, her only real way of attacking. And that refills the gauge, it lets her heal people, kind of like a healing mist. So think May's weapon, but it's healing goop instead of ice.
Which is, like, interesting, like, in a story way to her mechanics, kind of. Like, yeah. In a sense that, like, it reflects her motivations that she's stealing energy from other people to make other people that she's opposed to, like, doing it in a value-neutral or positive way.
Right, which works into Reaper's mechanics, actually, because back in the day, he could get energy from people, like, after he killed them, they'd leave, like, a little soul globe, and he could take that to get, like, health back. But that was turning out to, like, not be that useful and kind of making him underwhelming. So they change it to any damage he does, that steals life a little bit. So every shot that he does takes some health for him, which makes him very good against people like Winston and Roadhog and that kind of thing. He makes him a tank buster again. But that kind of, like, that's the kind of stuff that her weapons can do. Takes away from somebody else to heal somebody else. So, but I was thinking that kind of She still can't bring people back, though. Her abilities
only... She can't, like, 100%, like, res from death, like...
Not the way that Mercy's abilities can. So I'm not sure, like, if there's something with, like, not just, like, the powers that he got from Moira, but also, like, coming back to life. May have, like, the combination of those two things may have been something that caused problems. Just because, like, Mercy brought Genji back and he's fine. So, like,
well, something... for a given value of fine.
I mean, he's
like, he's alive and all mentally there.
Yeah.
But, like, he's also goofy. Mostly robot.
He's mostly robot. But she had to do something that he was able to, like, not completely fail.
Yeah.
If nothing else, here's the thing, though. She brought him back, even as a robot, before Gabriel died. So, like, obviously,
Yeah. She
was able to do something, and maybe her regeneration with, like, the energy still, like, whatever. Something between what Mercy and Moira did. Which I'm still not 100% Mercy's not in the gray morality scale.
Yeah, that was what I was most worried about with that, like, the introduction of that little tidbit to the lore, was that it's like, okay, so if Mercy wasn't involved in poorly resurrecting Gabe, then she feels very, like, suddenly sanitized and, like, much less of, like, a darkened, or, like, a grayscale, like, nuanced character. Which I thought was one of the things I thought was very interesting about her, because she is this, like, she chose the form of, like, an angel.
Yeah.
Like,
so we're also seeing through, like, Moira that, like, I don't know if she stole the tech from Mercy or if it was Overwatch standard that, like, their medics have the Valkyrie suit. And even if you look at Moira, like, she didn't have it completely, but, like, her little side skirting things are the same things that Mercy has. And, like, it's the same basic vessel. And in the past, she had the same Valkyrie suit, but with, like, the devil horns instead of the halo, which makes it seem like Overwatch, and especially Blackwatch and Talon, are just extra-ass people. yeah. Like, Talon is a bunch of fashion queers, and you won't tell me otherwise. But, yeah, so, I don't know. I mean, Mercy has all that conflict just being, she just doesn't like the Overwatch is violent at all, even the ones that are, like, not under the radar.
Yeah.
And that puts her, like, I think Farrah's pretty morally ungood, right? Like, she didn't have anything sketchy.
Yeah, Farrah's probably, I feel like, is fairly frequently held up as, like, the least...
least problematic person.
Slash problematic. In terms of, like, is this character someone about whom I can feel unproblematic love?
Reinhardt is, too, but he's a little bit more foolhardy. I think this is... character flaw.
Yeah.
Did you see the new short with him in it? Did they release it?
I did watch the new short with him in it. I watched it last night.
Yo, why can't Blizzard just release something fun and happy? Like, everything gotta make us cry, like...
Yeah. Everything gotta be so heavy and emotional. Like, can we just get some banter? Can we get some more gays? Like, I'm looking at Moira.
There's no way.
No way this woman is heterosexual.
I'm sorry. Stereotypes are bad. Like... But, like... she has two, like, every character gets released with two legendaries, and each of those legendaries has a recolor of, like, some other style, right? It's like Lucio, for instance, has his frog costume that's gold, and then a frog one's silver, whatever. I can't think of anybody's off the top of my head. Doomfist has, like, a spirit one, and then a different spirit, for instance. Moira has... It's just called like Glam, but it's just David Bowie. And then she has a Moonlight one, which reminds me of, like, the Black Star cover. So, like, okay, she has a David Bowie legendary costume.
And it's, also, like, the David Bowie legendary costume is, like, colored in by Pride colors.
Oh, really? Yeah, I guess it is.
Yeah.
So, like, this woman is not a heterosexual. I mean, clue number one, she's in Talon.
Clue number two, she has a really butch haircut and gives herself tattoos.
And wears a tie, which, again, These aren't, like, I'm not saying if you see a woman on the street like this that you can make any assumptions, but I feel pretty confident assuming a company that drew this character that's known to be fairly progressive and has queer people on staff. This woman has held hands with another woman in a non-platonic way. I'm willing to say that fairly confidently. I'm
willing to go on that limb.
And they need to confirm it so we can pat them on the back, but, like, we don't need them to confirm it to be confirmed. It's just so that
Yeah, just so we can be like, oh, yep, we knew.
They can't leave all the lifting to the community. But she does seem interesting. I think she'll serve a good point on the team. I think she'll be to do a decent bit of damage. And she's not super mechanically heavy either. She needs a little bit of, like, aiming. A little bit more than, like, Winston, I'd say. But not... Mm-hmm. Not much more. Like, her weapon attaches to people and does less damage than Symmetra. Like, it doesn't multiply damage kind of thing. So she's not out there to win duels, but she can, like, defend herself. And she has, like, a flash step like Reaper does. Well, he has a teleport, and, like, all his videos show him, like, ghosting around. She can kind of do that. So, like, I don't know. She made him into a ghost. I don't know how he came back to life, though. But, yeah, that's the lore that we got. So... That's pretty cool stuff. And she has a Kamehameha Blast, which, why the fuck not? Someone needed to. And then, anything else about her?
I don't have anything else about her. I was going to say there's the Reinhardt short, which we briefly touched on.
Yeah. But... So, it kind of tells us some stuff that we sort of know. Oh, yeah. I know why you want to talk about this.
Don't call me out like that.
I was like, why the fuck did she care about this that much? It's just Reinhardt. Synopsis. It opens and Reinhardt's talking about needing to go to Winston's recall, because I guess that's still where we are in the story.
Yeah, I guess we still have... Oh, I know. When I was like, really? Like, we haven't moved past this at all? Like,
well, they just released... Doomfist, and like apparently he broke out of jail like before Orisa was released. Like, no, when Orisa was released, she must have been in, like, chronologically Doomfist was running around before we got to play as Orisa, but we got her first for some reason. So like this timeline, like, we're not gonna
know. Timeline's jacked as hell.
It's not gonna go forward until we have like 30-40 characters or something. The comics seem to be going at a current pace though, so
yeah.
But so it opens up and Reinhardt's talking to Bridget, his companion, who he travels with, about like, he's like, yo, I need to do Overwatch stuff, and she's like, yo, but you weren't supposed to. And then it flashes back to like his youth in Eichenwald and like fighting in the Omnic Crisis, and
the weird looking dude.
Hey, Reinhardt?
Yeah,
he's kind of a weird looking dude, but he had glorious hair, like he always says.
He did have glorious hair.
And he's like just fighting, charging a lot like his suit lets him, without a helmet on, like an asshole for some reason. They're just blown through Bastion units, like, you know, the German forces were able to hold off the Bastions, but then they weren't ready for the OR-14s, which is what Orisa's based off of, and they can kind of not completely get charged away, so they can kind of like shut that shit down, and they have you know, machine guns and stuff like that. So and apparently blades. They have laser blades, which...
Yeah, because that's apparently how Reinhardt got the scar on his eye.
Which they totally don't. They didn't in the Overwatch Uprising event. They never have before. That's new. Orisa doesn't have that, but hey, whatever. The Omnics are smart. And his mentor dies in the Eichenwald Castle, which is... We see his body there every time you deliver the payload, but...
It's very sad.
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to go and replace some of those just wreckage with, like, OR-14s, just because that's what they do with their maps after story events, but... Mm-hmm. And then it goes
to hey, we couldn't tell you what they were before, but now there they are.
Yeah, and then it goes back to the present, and Reinhardt's like, oh, Reinhardt wasn't supposed to be in Overwatch, his mentor was, but when his mentor died, he passed on the Overwatch medallion, and that's how we have... He's like, you know, go be their shield, and I'm like, yeah, buddy! Like,
oh.
And then he's like, yeah, Bridget, I gotta go back, and, it's revealed, and I don't know if this is the reveal or if it's just, like, the most clarity we've been given. But, yeah, Bridget is one of Torbjorn's many daughters. Because Torbjorn has many daughters.
Torbjorn has many attractive children.
That's true. And Bridget is she has the same, like, ironclad gear tattoo that he has on her arm. So, that's something.
And she has, like, a fantastic... I feel like people were like, oh, man. Like, I knew this before, but I'm realizing it now that, like, Bridget's pretty cute. And, like, but also people were... Her shirt. Did you see, like, a close-up of the t-shirt that she's wearing in the short?
What's it say, like, I work out so I can eat or something?
It's like, a kettlebell in the middle and with, like, a fork and knife on either side. And it says, I like exercise because I love to eat.
That's funny. That's very funny.
I was like, I relate. I relate very hard.
And she's, like, a master engineer. Like her dad, and she's the one who, like, keeps up Reinhardt's armor so that he doesn't, I don't know. Yeah, very capable woman. So, yeah, apparently she's their companions, like, in just a straight-up, not weird kind of way. So, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Maybe Reinhardt's one of the gays. We never contemplated that.
We had not considered that, but I feel like probably there's some push for that now that we have seen what he looks like as a youth.
I didn't consider that. Apparently there's also a woman that was in the, like, the Crusaders in one of those big armor suits. Like,
oh yeah, because I remember hearing, like, just like a lady voice. I was like, I knew it. There was a big lady in one of these big suits.
I wonder how big these people are, actually, because, like, they're nowhere near as big as these armors are. It's impossible.
Yeah, like, Reinhardt's like a big dude, but not like an impossibly big dude. He's not like Gamagori big. Like,
well, Gamagori only has one size, and that's bigger than you.
Bigger than everyone else.
But yeah, so that got a lot of information, and it was very cool to see. So, the lore keeps getting better and better. And then, just some other stuff. The Overwatch World Cup was at BlizzCon. Unfortunately, the United States lost in the first round to South Korea. As many thought would happen, but we were hoping they could pull out. But they took some maps, they did take some maps away from South Korea, but they also took some rounds, which a lot of people were barely able to even get a point off of Korea. So the fact that the United States did as well as they did was a good sign for the health of the community. It is nice to have, like, a pretty much like a final boss, but it's not fun when no one could touch the final boss. And South Korea was touched, and they were pushed to their limits on Hanamura, where they tied the United States, which has never happened. So that's pretty good. And then, but we did end up losing a fairly fought match. And then they went to, I think South Korea played, I want to say Canada. Why do I want to say Canada? I think they played Canada in the finals. And they defeated them, but Canada also took a round or two. So, you know, people are doing better. South Korea is being tested, and that's good for the community and other good matches. And they have, like, all these new spectator tools. So these matches are actually able to be watched better. They're giving teams, like, colors. So each country had respective color schemes for their characters, like red, white, and blue for us and Britain and a few other places. Actually, South Korea is also red, white, and blue.
Yeah.
But also people got away colors too. So we were like white and red, and they would be like we were like deep red or something. They were white. I can't remember which one, but they're also doing that for the Overwatch League coming up. And as you may have seen, a lot of teams have like very vibrant color schemes.
Yes.
So that's all coming along. It also changed, like, the particle effects and stuff. So instead of seeing, like, red or blue explosions, you'll see, like, maybe a green explosion versus a white one, and, like, white shields and all that kind of thing. So things will be easier to follow in the game, especially with more beams being added and more just stuff that's weird to follow and chaining together. It'll be easier to follow now.
Nice.
So, yeah, South Korea's the champions, but good matches overall. And then Overwatch League is starting up. The preseason, I think, is like in December. I want to say December 6th. But we have all the teams revealed now. We have 12 teams. There's an Atlantic division and a Pacific division. They all have logos. They all have team colors. You can, like, check out the rosters. Definitely rooting against the Boston team out of principle because it's Boston. And I don't like the Patriots. And Robert Kraft is not a great guy to me. But they have a cool logo. They have good colors, blue and gold. Can't go wrong with that. And a lot of famous known players on some of these teams. As much as it hurts me as a Pittsburgh person, Philadelphia is the closest city to me, so that might be the team I root for. Boombox is on that team. Shadowburn, which is like a famous Genji from Russia. So, you know, seeing what the different teams do. And San Francisco Shock might be my Pacific team, because they had that great intro video we talked about a few weeks ago. And Sinatra's on that team. So, you know, it could be good. You know, a lot of names for on the scene. I might try to do some, like, what's the word I'm looking for here? Coverage on this kind of stuff, just because it's...
Oh, nice, yeah.
Just trying to, like, help people get interested in it, because I've been watching it for a long time. So I know how this works. I don't know all the players, but I do know... I see a name like Numlocks, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I know of that guy. Or, you know... Or soon, I know of him. I don't know some of the South Korean players, but they have a strong team. Shanghai is a team, so, you know, look forward to that kind of stuff. It'll be good. It'll be fun to watch. You're gonna be able to buy team merch if you want. You can buy a jersey, If you like,
that's so cool.
If you like the great player from Seoul Dynasty, if you like Jae-Hong, he's greatest Anna player in the world. You can't pull out the Dragon Blade against Jae-Hong because he's gonna hit you with that sleep dart 100% of the time. You're gonna be able to get a jersey with his name on it. I don't know if it's gonna be his screen name or his real name, but his name is Jae-Hong Ryu, and his screen name is Ryu Jae-Hong. So it's either way, you're gonna get the guy's full name probably if you buy a jersey. So it's gonna be probably black and gold. So I might have to root for them just by being black and gold. You know, there's.
I was gonna say, is there any aesthetic going into your choice?
You know, I don't know, cause like I want to vote for a team near me or root for a team near me, but also like it's kind of hard to say no to the black and gold team. Especially when they're probably going to be one of the better teams, and it feels like I'm bandwagoning before the whole thing starts. Are you like, so I know you don't know a lot of these names, probably, so are you digging any of the logos or team locations?
Yeah, I mean, I'm already kind of partial to, I like the logo for the Florida Mayhem, because I think the palm tree as the fuse is pretty a clever visual.
That is a good logo.
Aspect. But, I
mean, they got some good players on that team, too. Logix and Tevic. I know about them. They're good.
Nice. But I'm also, like, just, like, I'm still impressed by the production value of the intro video for the San Francisco Shock.
Was that them? Well, hey, here's the thing, though. They're in different divisions. I think you can be a Shock fan and a Mayhem fan.
So, you heard of Shock and Awe. I like Shock and Mayhem. That was terrible.
I'm surprised you don't want to root for the New York team. I don't like their logo.
It's the most fucking boring logo. Although Excelsior's like a Marvel word, so.
That's fair. Oh man, I'm looking forward to this just because like. I'm of two minds of Overwatch League. Like the part of it is like, oh man, this is gonna be awesome. I like the production of this. They're really going for it. I really care about this. And the other half, it's like, this is kind of. I'm still, as much as I play video games and I'm a huge nerd and I'm waiting for this. Part of me is still like, it's a fucking video game. The novelty of it is still there. And I feel both ways about this. And I totally can't wait for this. And I'm gonna like, they have games like Thursday, Friday, Saturdays during like the season. So it's gonna be like. They already have, like, some of the schedule out.
Uh-huh.
Preseason is Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of December 6th, 7th, 8th, and actually the 9th. But they have, like, stage one, so they have the first week is January 10th. And they have games, like, Wednesday through Saturday. So, like, it's going to be hard. Like, I don't think people are going to be able to follow all this stuff. But, like, you can definitely follow a lot of this stuff. Just, like, put it on and, like, whatever, you know? Like, I'm not going to watch all of it, but I might, like, catch a game or two kind of thing. So, that could be pretty cool. You know, they have the schedule up to week 5. So that's, you know, or no. The whole time. They actually have the full schedule all the way up to postseason. So plan it out now, folks. You can set your whole schedule around watching esports. And then we'll get the Overwatch Super Bowl. So, you know, let's see the ad revenue for that.
Yeah.
They could probably get a lot of commercial sponsors for this kind of thing. You know, obviously not Super Bowl level, but like, or not even esports Super Bowl, but like, this is different in the way that like, you know, hockey and basketball, you can't pin down when like the big day is going to be because there's series of seven. But the Super Bowl is going to be one day. And the way this is, you know, yeah, it's best of five kind of thing, but it's best of five in an hour. So like, okay, they did the assault map. Now time for a word from our sponsor. But like a giant Bud Light truck comes out. Like, is that the same truck from Fantasy Fest? Like, yeah, we're here for Overwatch League. Bye, Bud Light. And Dorito's gonna be like, that could have been us. And they're like, okay, time for the control map. So you know, anything can like happen. I might get a jersey. You know, cool Matt 69. IDDQ Shadowburn. So you know. Anything else after that long segment, Steph?
I don't think so.
Okay, I guess we got two Shock fans in the house, so,
Ooh.
I'm gonna look over some of these players again to see if I know any of them, but like I think I'm definitely leaning towards Shock as my Pacific team. Oh, like this, I don't know, it's there's still like a lot of novelty to this to me, so I'm enjoying it. Yeah. Yeah,
for sure.
Oh, but you know, Dallas Fuel has three really big names. They got Seagull, the old man of Overwatch, one of the famous Genjis, you know. Taimu, XQC. Anything could happen, but I think I'm a Shock fan. I don't like their logo that much, but I'm a Shock fan. Before we get out of here, did you get anything in the last week or so?
Let's see. You know, I probably did, but I don't remember any of it, so I'm cool to leave it off for next week when I remember.
Well, I got a bunch of beers as always.
Christmas
season is here.
Yeah.
Pretty much, like, even though it's barely touching November, Trogue's Mad Elf is out, which is like a 10-11% like cherry honey beer, kind of all right. I'm bought some other Christmas ales, and I got the Overwatch art book
nice.
That I ordered that actually came in while we were on vacation, but there's some really good concept art in there, a lot of funny stuff like Buff, Black Mill, Mercy, and just like general art and stuff. A lot of cool things. You know, you see Genji and Hanzo were at once one character when they split them into two because they had like too much shit going on. It's like some of the concept art is pretty cool. So it's a nice book. Another thing from Dark Horse, same people that made my Splatoon 2 book or my Splatoon book. They're trying to make a Splatoon 2 one. I'm like, this hasn't even simmered for a year. You're not getting me that soon. See me in a year.
Yeah, take me a year for another $35.
Which is a fair price for like a hardcover 300-page book, but like, come on,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, like, full color, yeah.
And it's got Pilgrim card game, so I think I talked about that before, but I haven't played it yet, but soon. Social media, how's that sound?
Sounds good, let's hit it.
So, hey, you like this podcast? Follow us on Twitter, CharacterRev, 2 hours in the middle. Simplecast or characterreveal.simplecast.fm. You can find the podcast there, Google Play Podcast, iTunes, Stitcher. You know, subscribe, leave us some star reviews, comments, all that kind of thing. Find us on Patreon, you know, patreon.com/characterreveal. Every little bit helps. You can find us on Instagram, characterreveal, Facebook, just search characterreveal. You'll find us. You can find me all over the internet as Brother Dom, Instagram, Twitter, Tumblr. But Twitch, any place I want to be found, you can find me under Brother Dom. You find Steph as Captain Steph on Twitter, Snow Queer on Tumblr, Hella Steph on Instagram. Yep. And that's pretty much it. You can go check out, even though it's on hiatus for 2 months, the Lady Geek Girl and Friends blog. That's ladygeekgirl.wordpress.com. It's an intersectional feminist blog about nerdy stuff. We're currently taking a holiday break, but you can go through the archives and search stuff that Steph and I have each written.
And some good stuff back there?
Yeah, I think that's everything. And, you know, subscribe to us using your favorite podcast catcher. If you're on Android, you can use Podcast Addict. They're not paying me to say that, but they should. it's real good for getting all your podcasts if you don't have, like, some kind of dedicated app or something. If you have an iPhone, you probably can just use the podcast app, I'd imagine. It's weird if you wouldn't. Or you can just listen to us on your browser. I appreciate all of you doing that, especially all of our friends in Japan. Still, feel free to let us know that you're listening.
You gotta have
some like Twitter or Facebook or something or Stitcher. Leave a comment. Like, we're really really appreciative really for you listening. I think that's everything.
That's about it.
Yeah, thanks for listening to another episode of us. We're going to keep trying to bring stuff to you. We have a few guests we've recorded with. We have those lined up. We're going to be releasing those quite shortly. We might do a quick charity drive for Toys for Tots at the end of the month. A local place in Pittsburgh does a Toys for Tots drive. Former guest Mikey from the Freak Show, radio show, does Stuff of Us. Him and Bob do every year. Actually, the whole radio station does. And I'd like to take some toys in person. I might try like stream Cuphead or something for donations or something. And if not, I'm still gonna donate. And if anybody knows of any charities that I'm not familiar with this, and I don't even know the best place to look, but I know we have listeners that don't celebrate Christmas for either religious reasons or other. So if you know anything around that season that is donating, that's either celebrates our Jewish family or is secular, non, is it secular or non-secular? The non-religious version. Secular.
Secular is non-religious.
Yeah, so any of our secular friends as well, if you have any charities that are real big around this winter season, please let me know just so I have that in my personal knowledge bank. And I'm willing to donate to those as well.
Donate to the Salvation Army.
Yeah, because they are...
bigots.
What?
The bigots.
Oh, bigots. I didn't hear the word you said. Yeah, don't donate to bigots. but yeah, but while you're not donating to bigots, have a good rest of the day. Thanks for listening. And until next time, see you later.
Bye.